الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جعلت قرة عين لي في الصلاة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having granted us the opportunity of being present in the masjid after Isha Salah to listen to something which is of importance, of historical importance to us as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected friends and brothers, the event which Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced is known the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. Isra refers to, it is directly translated, to move and travel. And this traveling took place by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why it took place on the face of this earth on between two physical land locations, Makkah and Masjid al-Aqsa. Then a second part of the journey is known as Mi'raj. And when we translate Mi'raj into English, it means a step ladder. Anything that is used to go up is called a Mi'raj. So the step ladder there, or the stairs, or even an elevator, or even a lift, whatever it might be, all these things are Mi'raj. That means going up. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went upwards and a kind of a ladder or something was brought upon which he mounted and then he went up to the heavens. So Isra means traveling at night and Mi'raj means a piece of equipment that takes you up. Normally we translate it as ascension because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended. So sometime in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was still staying in Makkah Mukarrama, around 10 years after he had received his prophethood, this event took place. Sometimes in the 10th year of prophethood, that means 3 years before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. When it took place, which month, we don't know. Which date, we don't know. Different views and whatever it is, but the event did take place. Not important to know the month and the date because it's not relevant. If it was important and relevant, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have told us, the Sahaba would have told us, and we would have known about it. But till today, like I said, there are 35 different views. We cannot deny this event. Why I say that is because some modernist, humanist, if you want to call them, or rationalist who only look at things in the eyes or with the mind of physical phenomena, they deny this event ever happened. They have been denying it from the day it had taken place. So if anyone denies the Isra, the traveling by night, then he is out of the pale of Islam because Allah says, Subhanalladhi Asra, glorified is Allah, that being who took his servant by night, Laylam, on a journey. He took him by a night journey. Also, we learned that this incident did take place at night, not the whole night, one part of the night. And then there are other ayat of the Quran, which one I have recited in the opening khutbah, which make reference to the journey of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he came closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is referred to as the Mi'raj. And there are numerous authentic ahadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he has described the upward journey from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens. So that is also found in the hadith. And if anyone refutes that, then he has refuted an important part of Islam. Also, we have to understand as a matter of aqidah and belief that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam undertook this journey in a physical state. If you look at all the ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I was in a state of between sleep and awake. I was about to fall off to sleep. You know, when you're just about to fall off to sleep, when the angels came to me, and then I woke up. So the fact that he woke up shows that he was awake. Till before that, he was about to fall off to sleep. And then he says, I was made to lie down in the Hatim, and then I was made to sit up, and then I was awake. There also we find I was made to be awake. So that entire part of the hadith makes it clear it was not a dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are 24 occasions where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mi'raj, but 23 are said to be dream. And this particular one which we are talking about is a physical journey with body and soul. And that is why Allah Ta'ala describes it with the word Subhanalladhi. That glorified is that Allah. If it was a dream, anybody can dream anything. You can also dream last, you went for mi'raj tonight, for last night, whenever it might be. Anybody can have any dream. It's not something to, you know, talk about it in such a great and such a wonderful way. Subhanalladhi, glorified is that being who had taken his servant. So these are one or two important things to keep in mind in terms of aqidah. That is our belief, that will be our belief, and that has been the belief, and that is what we must at all times believe. Do not become trapped in any kind of other arguments and stories that this was not a physical journey. Also, my respected friends and brothers, this is a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when we speak of a miracle, we are talking of something that is beyond the natural, something that is supernatural. And this journey of Mi'raj, Isra and Mi'raj, is filled with so many different supernatural events, beyond the natural, as we refer to it, that it can only be miracles. Now, when you speak of miracles, you must remember, well, lots of Anbiya came and they performed miracles. Why did they perform a miracle? Because they were challenged by their followers or by the people who they were sent to, that prove your authenticity, prove your credibility that you are in fact a Nabi. What are your, prove it. What is your credentials? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to let the Nabi of the time perform some or other act which no one else could perform. Miracles got no physical connection, you must remember. Miracle got no explanation. How it happens, it is the unseen help and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the hands of the Nabi. So my respected friends and brothers, every Nabi had this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he underwent on the journey of Mi'raj, then you must remember, he was not showing a miracle to the disbelievers to prove that he was a Nabi. In other words, there were other miracles that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did perform in request and demand of the disbelievers. So they used to demand, they say, you prove it to us, you are a prophet. So there were some miracles that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed, and there were some he did not perform, and some Allah ta'ala told him, don't perform it. And there were some that he used to perform, the kuffar used to say, we'll never believe you. وَقَالُوا لَنُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. They said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now imagine he's in Makkah now, the disbelievers, they're challenging him. They say, we'll never ever believe upon you that you are a prophet until such a time that you don't bring forth a spring that is gushing from the earth. In Makkah, they wanted a fountain there in the desert. Okay, there is Zamzam there, but there is also a miracle well. So till you don't bring that, we're not going to believe. And فتفجر الأنهار لن نؤمن لك حتى تفجر لنا من الأرض ينبوعا أو تكون لك بيت من زخرف. Or that you don't possess a home that is made of pure silver. You must just show us a house, you know, magic, and a house must be there. Then we'll say, you know, you are a prophet of Allah. أو ترقى في السماء. Or that you go up in the heavens, they said. So that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer their request. He did go up in the heavens later on, but this, when he went up, was not in reply to this. And وَلَن نُؤْمِنَ لُرِقِيِّكَ حَتَّى تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَعُ. And we are not going to even believe you went up until such a time you don't bring a book that we can see that Allah sent this book here. That is the kind of demands they used to make. So when they used to make all these kind of demands to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to say, you know, you must have an orchard. You must have an orchard, or yakuna laka, an orchard that has got grapes in it, anabin, And in there, there must be a river that is gushing forth through the orchard in Makkah. We want that things. So these were things that were not normally found. And to ask for these things was to ask for something unnatural or something beyond the natural. And they say, when you bring all of this, then we will answer. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to them, قُلْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي. Say to them, glorified is my Rabb. هَلْ كُنْتُ إِلَّا بَشَرَ الرَّسُولًا. I am nothing but a human being. I am a man who is a messenger. You are asking me to do all these things, you know, just like that. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to perform tricks for you. Every time you want me to do some trick, I must do it for you. I cannot do all these things. You must remember, no prophet could perform any miracle until it was not by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you, Allah ta'ala told him that you are asking me to do all these things. I am a man. I'm a human being. I don't have all these superpowers which you are asking me. But yes, when Allah ta'ala did give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certain powers from time to time, miracles to perform, then he proved it. For example, they said, till you don't split the moon. Now, how can you split the moon? Such an unnatural thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power and the moon was split. So no Nabi could just perform any miracle until وَمَا كَانَ لِرَسُولٍ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِآيَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It is not in the power of any messenger to bring forth any miracle except by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah ta'ala didn't give the Nabi, whoever it was, the power to perform it at that time, the Nabi said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Or the Nabi used to say that Allah ta'ala says no. You know, Isa alayhi salam's people asked him, they said, we want an entire tray, we want an entire table laden with food. Until and unless you don't bring that, the Rabbana anzil alina ma'idata minas sama, bring a whole table from the heavens, and then we will believe that you are a Nabi. So that's another story. But nevertheless, the miracle of Mi'raj was not in response to a demand by the disbelievers where they wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform this miracle or to go up to the skies. The second thing is that when it comes to miracle, to the Mi'raj, it's a very, very vast and a very, very broad topic. There are so many aspects. One is the journey itself, as you and I know it, okay? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping in the home in of Ummi Hani. Then he was taken to the Hatim. Then from there he was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then from there he was taken to the heavens. And through the different heavens, he met the different Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. That's the one thing. Then the second part of this journey is with regard to what was shown to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is an entire topic and an entire lecture on its own. And then there's another aspect also with regard to the various symbolic things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw, which I will just touch on one or two. And there are lots of other things also which we can throw light on. So we can't every year speak on the same thing, but we can throw light on different things. And in this way, inshallah, we will be able to look at it from different angles, inshallah. Now, the first thing, my respected friends and brothers, is that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even bring about such a journey for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So you must look at how Allah introduces this topic. He says, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. That glorified is Allah, that being who took his servant. This word abd, normally it's not a very best of words, you know. You think I'm your servant? I know you tell somebody. You think I'm your servant? Go do it yourself. But see, Allah is using the word servant. When Allah is referring to someone as a servant, then that person must really be a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must be dedicated. He must be a very, very loyal and committed servant. Allah says, this is my servant. That means Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's servitude to Allah ta'ala was perfect. It was 100%. The second thing in the word servant, you find the connotations of humility. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered 10 years under the persecution of the disbelievers. That was 10 years of prophethood. He was still in Makkah. And he suffered every kind of difficulty and opposition and persecution and torture. He saw his own people suffering. He saw them being killed. He saw them being exiled. He saw so many things happening. And he got exiled. And also he lost his wife, Sayyidah Khadija. He saw his family being hurt. So many things were happening. But through entire mission, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always kept his humble stance. So from here, what very important lesson we learn is that when we humble ourselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will elevate us and Allah will raise us. Remember that. You know, sometimes we have issues with people. Sometimes we have fights. Sometimes we have whatever it might be. And then they try and make you very, very bad. They try and run a person down. They make him bad. They paint him with a very black brush, whatever it might be. But just remember that if a person is innocent and he holds his humility at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him. And if a person does not deserve to be elevated, and if he's elevated by creation, and that's what happens very often in the media, we find, you know, how they spin things, how they make propaganda, and how they do all kinds of things, and then after a while, those same people drop you again down also, just like that. So today they make you Mr. So-and-so, and whatever it might be, they talk all good stuff about you in the media, you find you're being flashed all the time, and then after a while, the same people will drop you down. But when Allah Ta'ala elevates somebody, then that person will not fall. Allah will just carry on raising him. Allah will put love of the malaika. Allah will love that person. Allah will put the love of the creation in such a person's name. He's in that person. And that person, as he's raising, only Allah will raise him. People will even want to bring him down. People will even dislike it. People won't be happy. People will be jealous. But this elevation comes on account of humility. And when we speak about humility, my respected friends and brothers, we need to ask ourselves, have we got genuine humility or we got fake humility? You know, many times we all act so humble, yeah, brother, Hazrat, that's nice, and we act like real Sufis up, and somebody must just tramp our toes or just push us or just do something, and they must, yeah, we look at that fellow, how angry we get, how we start saying things, then the real arrogance come out, then we come to know how fake our humility is. So humility, Allah must give it to me, Allah must give it to all of us, under all circumstances, is a most beautiful quality. And he who humbles himself, man tawadha'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever humbles himself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will humble. We heard the name of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi. He was known as the second Umar. And he just came into the Islamic empire as a khalifa at the end of the first century, 99 after Hijrah. And he was an extremely pious person. He said one day he was sitting and he had his servant, and he told the servant, I need to sleep a little while. Can you please just fan me? That time they didn't have fans and they didn't have air cons and all that. So the system was that your servant was sitting next to him, and the servant started fanning him. And in a little while, he fell off to sleep. And in a little while, the servant also fell off to sleep. He was giving such a nice fan to his master, he also fell off to sleep. And after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz got up, he found his servant sleeping with a fan in the hand. He took the fan from the hand, and he started fanning his servant. Subhanallah. And the servant is enjoying a good sleep. Khalifa, we're talking of a Khalifa, executive state president, you know, of an entire Islamic empire. That's what we're talking about here. Not one small premier of one small little province or something. Khalifa, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, that's who we're talking about. That fellow suddenly got up, the servant, and he got such a shock when he saw his king, he saw his master, he saw his Khalifa fanning him. He jumped up. Hazrat said to him, no, you fan me and put me off to sleep. You also deserve to have a kind of a cool rest like how I was having. So carry on sleeping. I will fan you. That, my respected friends and brothers, is the humility of the people of those times. And if we can say, if we were in that position and if we got up and found a fellow sleeping, he'll be fired. Finish. He can go. And that's the end of him. So we're talking of humility. Nevertheless, come back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The humility of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through this entire 10 years was something that is exemplary. And because of that, Allah Ta'ala refers to him as Abd. It is mentioned in one of the kitabs, in the book Madarijun Nubuwa, with reference to another kitab. He says that on this night, Allah Ta'ala asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how would you like me to address you? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I would like you to address me as your servant. And really, if we can bring that in our hearts, that we are all the servants of Allah, then, my respected brothers, to become obedient to Allah will become very, very easy. To carry out the commands, whatever they might be, difficult or easy, will be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the lowest stage of his life that he was suffering at that time. I just mentioned how he was, you know, and Allah wanted to raise him. And Allah wanted to give him the honor of being close to Allah. And there isn't a greater honor for anybody than to be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in this world, when we speak of you're close to somebody, you know, I got context. I know, for example, the state president, not our one. Nobody want to be too proud to say, I know the state president. They laugh at you. Say, okay, so good for you. You must be a Gupta, they will tell you. But you know, we're talking of now a serious person in high position. Others will respect you because you're close to him, to whoever that person might be. So in the same way, my respected friend, Allah wanted to give qurbat, closeness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such closeness that was not given to anybody else before. And that is the closeness you and I are supposed to ask ourselves, how can we attain it? Obviously, we're not going to be the Prophet. Obviously, we're not going to have Jibreel alayhi salam coming and taking us up and doing whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity to attain his closeness. There are so many ways. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that aqrabul abd, the closest that the servant is to Allah ta'ala, idha kana sajidan, when he is in a state of sajda. That is closeness. Now, how often do we actually feel the closeness of Allah ta'ala? Do you know, according to one hadith, it is said that the one who is in the state of sajda has got his head on the feet of Allah. Now, when you speak of the feet of Allah, please don't go physical again. Like when the Quran speaks, yadullah, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go physical. It is just a figure of speech. It is to show you are at the feet and the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are in the state of sajda. That is how close you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah didn't give us mi'raj, but Allah ta'ala gave us sajda through salah, where we can come so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something we are supposed to yearn for. And Allah has given us ways and means where we might not have the step ladder which are given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we are given a step ladder whereby we can also gradually, step by step, come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala honored Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this journey was, Allah says, what? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that we may show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from some of our signs. مِنْ آيَاتِنَا means some of our signs. And then Allah says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِعُ الْبَصِيرُ, verily Allah alone, he is the one who is all hearing and all seeing. What is meant here, my brothers? Just very briefly, I'm going to just give you that Allah ta'ala wanted to show some things to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was not shown to anybody else before. Things that you and I have to believe in without seeing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's iman was perfect, was complete. Allah wanted to further show him and honor him that these are the things that you are supposed to be believing in, and I'm showing it to you now. But you're not going to be shown everything. So I'm going to only show you certain things. And we know part of the journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shown Jannat, and he was shown Jahannam, and he was shown punishment, and he was shown reward, and he was shown a lot of other things, which I will just very briefly throw light on. We have to keep the talk as short as possible. Like I said, this can be a very long talk. So nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, he was shown. And then this ayat, Allah says, so that we may show him from our signs. Then Allah says, innahu huwa sami'ul basir. Allah, he alone is the one who is all hearing and all seeing. What is the link of this last part, these two attributes of Allah, to the sentence before that? You see, Allah Ta'ala is putting our aqidah and belief correct. That it does not ever must occur to your mind that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown things that were out of this realm, that he has now got the qualities and the position of Allah Ta'ala, na'udhu billah. Allah says, still Allah is the one who is all seeing and Allah is the one who is all hearing. So he will see, he will be shown certain things, but that does not elevate him to the position of divinity and godhood, like how the Nasara have elevated Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't ever make that mistake to think that anyone is equal to Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. So here we find that ayat where Allah makes mention of his attributes is to keep our aqidah and our belief correct. So my respected friends and brothers, we continue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook this journey, and like I said, this experience of his where he was shown supernatural things. Now I say supernatural again, it's not the normal thing, but actually, my brothers, while you're speaking of natural and supernatural, there are so many supernatural things we see on a daily basis. You see, when you see a miracle, a fellow says, you know what? Allah exists. You see the fellow saying, Allah, yeah, we know. But why is he saying, you know what? Allah exists, brother. I can tell you there is a Allah. You say, why? What happened? And he tells you some harrowing story. And he was a goner. And suddenly from out of nowhere, something strange and great and, you know, spectacular happened. And he was just saved. He says, only Allah saved me. So that incident made him believe in Allah's existence, which is right, which is an unnatural thing that happened. But my brothers,
Allah Ta'ala invites us towards miracles every day. But because they are such a norm, because they are so familiar to us, we no longer see them as miracles. Why does Allah Ta'ala continuously invite us in the Quran Kareem to look at normal phenomena around us and reflect? That is a miracle that we are seeing. But we just pass it. Childbirth. It is one of the greatest miracles if you sit down and ponder and if you study. And nowadays we've got so many different kind of devices where we can actually see how the child from the state of, you know, conception from a time it is a drop of sperm and how it forms and how it finally comes to the egg and how whatever else happens and so forth. And then it goes from one stage to another stage, which Allah Ta'ala has made mention. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. We made a clot of blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. Made a piece of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. Then we created bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. All these things are happening in the womb of a mother. Is that something normal? Is something just one thing like that happening? Did we sit down and say, you know, when the woman first time especially, and now she didn't get her monthlies. SubhanAllah, they married a few months. Then they run to the chemist by the pregnancy test, you know. And then they do the test first thing in the morning. Oh, then they get so happy. It's positive. That time of the morning, they'll phone the nanny and they'll phone, hey, you know what, mommy, I'm pregnant. SubhanAllah. And after that, they are so happy about it. But are they sitting and are we thinking, what is going on in the womb at that time? Allah Ta'ala has invited us to look. فَتَبَارَكَ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glorified, blessed is that being who is the most beautiful, who is the most excellent and perfect of the creators. So that is a miracle that is happening. If we look at that and if we still can't recognize Allah Ta'ala, then what are we going to find? But it's a normal, happening all the time, you see. What about the sun, the moon? What about the days? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ. Verily, in the changing of the day and the night, there are definitely signs for the intelligent people. Ayat means signs, it means miracles, it means the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are lots of other ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually invited us to ponder and to reflect. These are not ordinary things. One person, alhamdulillah, once mentioned to me, and I also was like, what are you saying? He says, what a miracle it is to see the night go into the day and the day into the night. He says it's one of the most spectacular miracles. And he's going on. He passed away, like him, he stays in Jannah. He loved the Quran. I'm saying, yeah. Like how we all say, yeah, it's day and night happening all the time. What are you going on about it? But my brothers, that is a miracle. When we sit down, Allah Ta'ala has repeatedly spoken about this, the changing of the night and the day, the coming of the night and the coming of the day, how the one envelopes the other, how the one swallows up the other. How the one gets sucked into the other. Allah Ta'ala talks about it. It is a miracle that is happening. And through that, if we can look at and we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are on our own journey of mi'raj. We are coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the phenomena that is mentioned in the Quran, we can go into details, but there's no time. But all of those things are just mind-boggling. In fact, they are beyond the mind. We cannot understand. And that is the nature of any miracle. There's no physical explanation to it. So we continue. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you know the story of the journey, was in the home of Mihani, and from there he was taken from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, 1,240 kilometers, 2 hours flying time nowadays with the Arab, you get Nas Air and whatever, the small kululas of that area there, they fly you over from Jeddah, not even Mecca, from Jeddah, Mecca is a bit longer, to Masjid al-Aqsa, to Jerusalem. You'll get off at one of those airports there in Israel. So it's 1,240 kilometers, about a 2 hours flying time. 1 hour, 42 minutes is what they will tell you on the thing there. My respected friends, in that time, to travel from Mecca to Jerusalem was a couple of days, couple of weeks journey. And for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have traveled on that journey is a miracle on its own. And now, one or two symbolic things which I will just mention as we go along. Two things were shown to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst other things. As he was traveling with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, there was an old lady who called to them. Jibreel alayhi salam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't pay attention to her. She was a woman that was draped in her outward garment. It was quite attractive. But she was an old woman and really not attractive in terms of looks, very old and bummed out, as you will say. That make your head turn second time. He said, don't pay attention. Then they went on and they saw an old man also greeting them. Jibreel alayhi salam said, don't pay attention. Then later on, Jibreel alayhi salam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that woman that you saw is actually a symbol of this dunya. I said, there are a lot of symbolic things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen. Outwardly, very, very colorful. Outwardly, very attractive. You know, everybody running after the dunya. Everybody wants to be attached and associated with as much of the dunya as they want to. So he says, that is the outward garment. And inside what you saw, that woman, you saw the age. That is the amount of life that is left of this dunya. So it's not something. That's why don't pay attention. So the lesson for us here is, in all its luster, in all its beauty, the dunya is not something you run after. You do not become greedy. You do not become jealous when others have got it. You do not make it the object of your life, because today it's here, tomorrow it's gone. The dunya is to taste only. We do tafsir in the morning there. At the moment we're doing one ayat, a very beautiful point came up. Allah says, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً. When we give man a taste of any mercy from us. And another verse Allah says, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ نَعْمَاءً. And we give him a taste of any blessing from us. Allah is talking about this worldly life as a taste. You know, when you are in the house and your wife says, can you just taste it? There's enough salt in the food. You're not going to have a whole meal. You just taste and you move on. Or somebody will say, you know, just taste. You know, I ordered this milkshake. Just take a taste. You're not going to drink the whole glass up. You can only take a taste. The real thing is what you got, what you're going to get afterwards. The real thing is the real meal. So this world, my brothers, understand, is only a taste. If there is goodness, it's only a taste of the real thing that is going to come. And if there's difficulties, it's only a taste of the adab that has been put there. Understand it. So this was the first thing. The second thing was that that old man, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was told by Jibreel alayhi salam that that old man there, he was shaitan. He was trying to attract you and trying to get your attention. Ignore him. So these are the two important things that we learn from there. The other question we ask ourselves, why is it that Allah Ta'ala didn't just take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a direct flight from Makkah to the Jannat? Why was it transit, connecting flight, you know, from Makkah to Jerusalem and then upwards? You could have done that because you must remember at that time, until now also, Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis is a very, very blessed place. And lots of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are connected to that area there. And it is the Qibla, and the special nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go there, meet all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, lead them in salah, and thereafter move up to give a universal message to all of mankind who are using this Masjid al-Aqsa as their Qibla, who are followers, different followers of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, that the final Nabi is now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also to give him the benefit of taking from the nur of Masjid al-Aqsa. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. The ulama have written lots of other secrets and lots of other wisdom behind it, which we're not going to go into. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proceeded in this particular way. Now, my respected friends and brothers, the universality of the message has been given to all of mankind, that the final prophet came and led all your prophets in salah here. And he is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Masjid al-Aqsa, the salah was performed. You must have heard that in a previous talk, and that I'm not going there. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the mi'raj. And I told you in the starting, mi'raj means a step ladder, something that you use to go up step by step. So, what was this mi'raj? There were 10 levels of mi'raj. 10 levels. Now, what are the 10 levels? The 10 levels of mi'raj are the 7 heavens. First, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through one sky, one heaven. Then he went through the other one. Then he went through the other one. So these 7, it was not just like, you know, he just crossed over into your first floor, second floor, third floor, one room. No, no. There is a long distance of 500 years between each of these heavens. And he came to each door. He didn't just go in and fly through. He was asked. Jibreel alayhi salam was asked, who are you? Said Jibreel alayhi salam, who is with you, Muhammad? Was he sent for? Yes, he was sent for. Okay, then he was sent. There was a security check through every door that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. And in this way, he met all the Anbiya alayhi salam. You have heard the story also before, that in the first heaven, he met Adam alayhi salam. In the second heaven, he met Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. Third heaven, he met Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, he met Idris alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, he met Harun alayhi salam. Sixth heaven, he met Musa alayhi salam. Seventh heaven, he met Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, it wasn't just random that they were there. Allah Ta'ala just put the Nabi salam passing through. People must be all sitting there. No. These Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, they had certain outstanding experiences or aspects of their life that was linked to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's a symbolic link between them. So for example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam met Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a whole discussion there. But Adam alayhi salam is the father of all of human beings. And he made hijrah from Jannah to this earth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also made meet Adam alayhi salam because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made hijrah. Then he came onto the second heaven and he met Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam when his relative Yahya alayhi salam, they were related. Both of them met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isa alayhi salam is that Nabi who's going to come to this world. He's going to do a great amount of work for this ummah. He's going to be our leader. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meet Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. There's a whole long discussion on that. I will just go very briefly just to let you know certain things. Maybe we never heard it before, or maybe you did hear it. And then he came, the third, he met Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Why he met Yusuf alayhi salam? Because Yusuf alayhi salam suffered the same thing what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered. His whole family turned against him. You know, his brothers even threw him in the well. And then he forgave them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was abandoned by his tribe, by his family, by so many people. And yet on the occasion of Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met all these persecutors and tormentors. He said to him, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam had said to his brothers. I'm not going to take any revenge, no reproach against you. You are all forgiven. And also one other beautiful thing we've come across, that the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, when we're going to be entering in Jannah, we are going to be having the face or rather the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. You know how much beauty he was given, right? So that is why he was made to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came on the fourth heaven. He met Idris alayhi salam. He is the originator and we can say the inventor of writing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever knew how to write. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had letters written to the various rulers of the world inviting them towards Islam. That's why he met Idris alayhi salam because of the writing link. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Harun alayhi salatu wa sallam. Harun alayhi salam was a brother of Musa alayhi salam. He was left here. When Musa alayhi salam went to Mount Tur, he was left in Egypt to look after the people. And 70 people decided to worship a calf. And these 70 people then were executed when Musa alayhi salam came because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they committed shirk. 70 people were killed in Badr at the hands of the Muslims. 70 were taken prisoners. Because of the link of the 70 oppressors, that's where we find Harun alayhi salam met Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Musa alayhi wa sallam. There are so many links between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. And then finally we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. And he said Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam was sitting on the seventh heaven against Baytul Ma'amur. Now what's Baytul Ma'amur? It is the Kaaba of the Malaika. It is said 70,000 Malaika every day come there, they make tawaf, they reach salah, and then they come down to the Kaaba of the earth, and that is the end. They'll never ever come back here again. So many times we go for Umrah, mashallah, we outbring the Malaika also, you know. 70,000 Malaika will come one time and they will never come back again. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was sitting there and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw two groups of people and just said to him, these are all the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, these are all your ummatis. Some are very, very white, dressed in beautiful clothing. They are the ones who do good deeds. And these are dressed in dark clothing. They are not the best of people. Then they were told to go make ghusl and then they came back. And then they were also shining like the first group. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting there. Jibreel alayhi salam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these are your ummatis whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Subhanallah. In any case, Ibrahim alayhi salam sent salam to us. We know that on this occasion. He says, tell your ummah, Jannat is a barren place. There's nothing there. It's fertile. Based on how much of zikr and whatever actions you do, that is going to be your building, your garden, your orchard, your rivers, your whatever you want in Jannah. So tell them to send as much as they can. And say, give salams to your ummah. That's what Allah said. When we say, hear this, you must say, wa alaikum salam. What a beautiful honor. You must say, wa alaikum salam. A Nabi of Allah sends salams to us via the Nabi of Allah. how honored we are, subhanAllah. So we just transmit this, and we have the opportunity of saying, wa alaikum as-salam. Thereafter, so there are seven levels of moving on. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up to the eighth level, and the eighth level is Sidratul Muntaha, where there's this huge lote tree. He said its roots are in the sixth heaven, and it is right above Baytul Ma'mur, and it has got a kind of a nur which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried, he did describe to us, but it was a rain of nur there. It was covered in golden moths. Each one was actually an angel making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was the eighth level. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up to the ninth level, and the ninth level is Maqam Sariful Aqlam, the place where you hear the scratching of the pens. You know, you write with a pen, it makes a scratching sound. So scratching of the pens. Now, what are these pens? These pens, there were 12 pens. It's a long discussion on them. But the first pen that Allah Ta'ala created was the pen of Taqdeer. Allah Ta'ala created the pen, Al-Qalam. He says, Noon, Wal-Qalam. He takes a qasam on this pen. And then this particular pen was made to write Taqdeer. And so the Taqdeer is already written down. The Malaika were merely transferring data from the Allahul Mahfuz to the various registers of the creation of people, that this one is going to be like this, he's going to do that action, his rosy is going to be this, his age is going to be that. So while you're busy doing all their work there, that scratching took place. Besides, there are 11 other pens. There's a pen of Hisab, there's a pen of Shahada, there's a pen of Kingdom, and a whole lot of other pens where all information relating to these things that I've just mentioned was being transferred. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard all of that. And then Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally was told by Jibreel alayhi salam, in fact already before that, I can't come before beyond this. This is a no-go. It's a no-entry zone. Anyone who goes beyond this, even myself, we will be burnt to ashes. My entire wings, everything will be burnt. I will be destroyed. So this is an area, restricted area, no entry. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was allowed to go there. And then he came, he describes that he was standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this, my brothers, is that meeting. This was that great honor. This was that closeness which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Where he came and he met directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he conferred praises of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred certain praises on him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent mercy on him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I came to a point where there were 70 curtains. I was in an area covered with a whole lot of nur. And that is the ayat of the Quran which I had read. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lifted and he came closer. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala said, Udnu ya Muhammad. Come closer, O Muhammad. Udnu ya Ahmad. Come close, O Ahmad. Udnu ya Khairul Bariyah. Come closest, O the best of creations. Allah Ta'ala is telling this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that particular area where he is coming so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says there were still 70 curtains. Each curtain had its own light and its own beauty, which was most spectacular. Each one was different from the other. The distance between the one curtain and another curtain, 70 of them, was 500 years. And so I went and I traversed between one curtain till the next curtain. And then I came and I was right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the Quran speaks about. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ يَوْ أَدْنَى. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one or two hand spans away from Allah. Now obviously it's another realm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. And then also there is a major discussion that Allah ta'ala let Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see him with the heart, with the eyes of the heart. And then Allah Ta'ala made it such that the eyes of the body were enabled by Allah, Allah got power over everything, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they had a discussion which is not mentioned to us, except that فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. And Allah says, and then Allah Ta'ala sent revelation and revealed to his servant whatever he has revealed. What did he reveal? Nobody knows till this day. That was a secret meeting between Allah and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were things which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed to be told, had to be told. Allah wanted to tell him. Allah wanted to honor him by telling him certain things. But nowhere do we find exactly what was told, except that it was a very special meeting. And many times we know, we also get jealous. Say, those people met, but they met behind closed doors. They had a secret meeting. So already it gives it such a kind of a speciality and exclusivity, you know. So that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had enjoyed. Then, my respected friends and brothers, come to the end of the talk, really. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. You know, he was shown Jannat, he was shown Jahannam. Various categories of people were shown. Inshallah, in a future talk, we might throw some light. In the past, we have thrown some light. It wasn't just random, you know. Just show them that, okay, show him that, show him that. No. He was shown certain actions of certain people so that he could come back and tell the Ummah that if you ever want to come closer to Allah, then you must stay away from those actions which has brought azab on these people here. We should be knowing our lessons. Miraj talk takes place every year. Like I said, to keep it short, we're not going to go into those details. Then we know the very, very famous thing, which is the normal end of our talk on Miraj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was granted three specific gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one gift he was granted was that this entire ummah of yours will be forgiven as long as they don't make shirk. Be careful of shirk. Be careful, like right in the starting I said, be careful of harboring any kind of a belief where you take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be equal to Allah. That is shirk. Or to have any action that equals to shirk, which is only exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be careful about that. So any ummati who does not resort to shirk will definitely be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing was given was the last two verses of Surah Baqarah. There's a great blessing in there. It comes from the special treasures of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best time for us to read it is before you go to bed. Read Amana Rasulullah bima unzila till the end. There's great blessing. And make it a normal daily wazifa. It's not something ordinary. If Allah called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave him a gift, you won't just give some cheap gift to somebody who is a very, very honored and a very great guest. You won't get some made in China stuff and say, okay, but it's a gift for you. You'll get the best for him. So this was the best thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given by Allah ta'ala. And the third thing, my brothers, is that Ummah is going to say, how can we also get this closeness? How do we come closer to Allah? So Allah says, ya Ummah, when they want to come closer, tell them to go to the masjid. You came to Masjid al-Aqsa, they must go to their masjid. And number two is they must get themselves connected to me, come closer to me, be very, very close to me, put their head on my feet by reading the salah and making sajda. That is the gift. 50 times you must do it. So obviously, we got so happy we heard that going up and down, you know. Allah Ta'ala said, I give you 50. Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you got? Gift. What you got in your gift bag? Say, I got 3. I got 50 namazes. Ibrahim alayhi salam was very close to Allah and he never speak anything. Musa alayhi salam is called Kalimullah. You know what Kalimullah means? The one who spoke, outspoken. He says, hey, 50 namazes, your ummah is not going to manage. Go back and tell Allah to make it less. You hear that, you say, hey, shukar, Musa alayhi salam said that, shukar. 45, 40, 35, 30, you know, till it came down to 5. And still Musa alayhi salam said, go make it less. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I can't. Then Allah ta'ala inspired to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 5 namazes equals 50. So my brothers, at the end of the day today, if we read all our namazes, we got 50 salah that we have read. And this is where the closeness of Allah ta'ala comes. There is nothing greater than, like I mentioned, starting to be close. You know the story of Fir'aun, when he called all his magicians to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So they asked Musa alayhi salam, they say, okay, أَيْنَّ لَنَا لَأَجْرًا كُنَّا نَحْنُ الْغَالِبِينَ. They tell us, oh Musa, if we overpower Musa, they told Fir'aun, they say, oh Fir'aun, tell us, if we overpower Musa alayhi salam with our magic, will we be paid? Will we get remuneration? Will we get a prize? You know what he said? He forget about a prize. He says, قَالَ نَعَمْ وَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَلَّ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. He said, yes, you're going to get paid, and you are going to be from amongst those who are very, very close. So the greatest gift I'm going to be giving you is you're going to become my close friends. I'm going to have a special contact with you, and there's nothing greater than that. You know, we always say, he knows, like I mentioned earlier, just a phone call away. He can just pick up the phone, and he can get the thing done, highest offices. So the closeness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which we are supposed to be aspiring for. And that will not come, my brothers, just like that. It will come when we cleanse our heart. It will come when every day we climb the mi'raj that Allah has given us. The mi'raj of our life are all the good deeds that we are faced with. The mi'raj of our life is to ignore all those things that are going to distract us, like that old lady, like that old man, like shaitan, like the dunya. That is the mi'raj. We are every day on a mi'raj. And each time when we overcome one of that, we have taken one step. And we have come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day we will be the muqarrabun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the muqarrabun in the Quran al-Kareem. Allah says, فَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ النَّعِيمِ will be in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those that are very close in different ways in the Quran. In Surah Waqiyah, Allah speaks also about the people who are the muqarrabun. So how we become closer to Allah? By continuously having this worry and fikr that what is my relation? Have I even got a relationship with Allah? Do I have a belief? Do I have that love? Do I have that commitment? Am I making an effort to cleanse my heart and to purify it and take all the dirt and the filth out so that I can make way for myself to come up there and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Make every effort. The more sins we commit, the further we are going down the stairs. And the more we abstain from sins, the more higher we are coming. You come very quickly up if you abstain from sin, much more quicker than standing up for tahajjud salah. Remember that. If you are, or if I am, and if we are, invited and attracted to a sin which we really want to do because our nafs loves it, but for the pleasure of Allah, we stay away. We will make such a stride in coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll make such a stride in being honored by Allah ta'ala in our own mi'raj, which we will not get in 20 and 50 years of getting up with tahajjud salah. Abstain from sins, my respected friends and brothers. And we are all the time surrounded by sin. We mustn't say, I am weak. Shaitan got me. My nafs is weak. We can say that, or we can say, I've got so many opportunities, so many steps to climb up and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things are tempting us. It's there. Not this is my opportunity to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when a person is in sajda, then he is very close to Allah. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah ta'ala says the last hadith, really we're concluding on this. He says that my servant, there's nothing more beloved to me that he comes closer with than what I have made faraz on him. So the faraz, namaz, and every other faraz that Allah has made, we are supposed to actually use that. With that, we come very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is still so shocking. People have passed the age of puberty and baligh, and they still don't read all their salah, and they are so casual about it, and they treat salah like it's just some by the way thing. You know, my brothers, don't ever do that to your salah. It is the greatest ungratefulness, ingratitude to a gift that Allah sent with his most beloved Nabi. Allah wanted us to also have the mi'raj. There is a saying, I don't think it's a hadith. People say it's a hadith, it's not a hadith. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. It's an Arabic saying. It's not proven to be linked up via any authentic chain of narration to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That what salah is the mi'raj of a believer. Not only salah, every day of our life, there is a mi'raj. We are coming either closer to Allah or either we're coming downstairs and moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there is nothing more effective in bringing a person very close to me than performing nawafil acts. So it can be nafil namaz, it can be nafil sadaqah, it can be nafil fasting, it can be nafil whatever it might be. These things bring us very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah says that I become that person's hands whereby he touches, his eyes, whereby he sees, his ears, whereby he listens. And whatever he asks me, I will definitely grant it to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that when he comes one hand span close to me, I come one arm's length closer to him. And one narration, if you come one arm's length closer to me, I come two arm's lengths closer to him. Another narration is not found. In the third one, when he comes walking to me, I come running to him. How much more beautiful can it be, my brothers, that we are getting and meeting up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are getting the same muqarrabun, that closeness that Allah ta'ala honored Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we're getting it in another way. So let us make some serious resolutions on this particular night. There's no ibadah, there's no nothing to do tonight except that we make the firm resolution that I am never ever going to show disregard to any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to each day of my life keep in front of me every action which I can use as a step ladder to come one more step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all sincerity and tawfiq, and also the ability to put into practice what has been said, what has been heard. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa al-aqibati al-muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen, Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta as-salamu minka as-salam, tabarak rabbana wa ta'ala ya dhal jalal wa ikram. Astaghfirullah, 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 alladhi la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum wa tubu ilayh. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, we are spreading our hands out in front of you, begging you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, for your special, special mercy. Oh Allah, save us from ourselves, save us from nafs, save us from shaitan, save us from everything that will keep us away from you. Make the path easy towards you. Oh Allah, give us the honor of also being very, very close to you. Give us the sweetness of tasting the sweetness of Iman, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allah, all those who have got difficulty, we ask you to remove their difficulties. Those who have got financial problems, we ask you to remove their financial problems. Those that are in debts, Ya Allah, you pay off their debts. Those who have got sickness and bimari, Ya Allah, you grant them shifa. Those that are under treatment, Ya Allah, you make their treatment successful. Those that are recuperating, Ya Allah, you grant them total shifa. Those who have requested for duas, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we ask you to fulfill all their needs. There are those who mentioned duas today. There are people who phoned, we must make dua for them. There are those people who asked us. And those who didn't ask us, you know what all their duas, what their needs are. Ya Allah, we sincerely, sincerely ask you on behalf of everyone present here, whatever their duas are, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, you grant it to all of us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Have mercy on the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Save the Ummah from every kind of difficulty and calamity. Ya Allah, do not put the Ummah through test. Do not put us through any kind of difficulty and test. Grant us all those things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked. Save us from all those things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked to be saved from. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al-mursaleen.